Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy Taylor Swift Appreciation Day, also known as the day that Life of a Showgirl, talked about for months, is now available. Thank goodness.
Yeah. Sure. I honestly, I do this anytime a major album comes out. I just remind myself of how old I am. And
you need more. I have reminders of that. So
in your
often.
Body.
Yes.
Yeah. I see. My thing is I've always been infirmed physically. Like I've had a bad back since I was like 13 years old.
Uh-huh.
So, it doesn't really affect me.
Feels like, he's old.
Yeah. I would like to think that I assist in you two feeling older every day.
We don't need
no,
the help,
actually,
dude.
You make actually no, buddy. You make us feel young because comparatively, the stuff that comes out of your mouth is just so antagonistic towards modern society that it makes me go like, you know what? No, I think I'm actually pretty level headed when it comes to this stuff.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Do we have any clue how long the lines were outside Target this morning? Did we see any reports of how many people lined up at midnight?
I know I joked about going, but there was no way I was going to.
There was no way you were going to go.
Stop watching overtime between Rams and 49ers to go to the T-Swift line.
Or leave your house at midnight or 10
or
o'clock.
Leave my house at,
I mean, there's no way.
I'm not above that, but I'm not going to go to Target to be, you know, stand in line with a bunch of Swifties.
Have you guys ever done the midnight sale thing?
Friday?
Hey, Quentin, once upon a time, we had to go leave our house and go to a Sears store to buy tickets to concerts. And Ticketmaster, because it was at a department store.
Or Macy's or whatever. Yeah.
And we had to wait in line physically outside at midnight.
I used to go to midnight sales all the time.
Yeah.
Like all the time. I used to go to midnight movies all the time too. It was awesome. But I mean, I'm a 43-year-old man now. So I listened to most of the album because that's the world we live in. I don't need to buy anything. I just have YouTube music and I just listen to it and I'm like, okay, it's a lot less boring than the last album. I'll give her that. Like the song we came in with, Wood, is actually that's a bop.
So that's the kids one might say. That's allegedly about Travis Kelce, right?
Yeah.
The Swifties are trying
it's blatant. I mean, she might as well say like he wears number 87 and never mind. I was going to make a horrible rhyme there. Sends me to heaven. It's basically, you want me to read the lyrics here?
Quentin was starting to read them a little bit. But
I could play a little bit that I think, look, if you weren't convinced, this one will convince you.
Okay.
Are we going to play it? Oh.
She literally says New Heights, which is the Travis Kelce podcast.
Sends me to New Heights, yeah.
Yeah.
Listen to these lyrics. Forgive me if it sounds cocky. He amatized me and opened my eyes. I'm not sure what she's saying there. Redwood tree. It ain't hard to see. His love was the key that opened my thighs. You know what?
What the?
I need to get, never mind, because Dana and Scott stole that bit from me.
PG-13, these are not PG.
Because I was going to say we should have Bill Grady read it, but you know, somebody in afternoons took that bit from me. Okay, anyway.
That's pretty, like, there are little girls that listen to that music.
His love was, well, I mean, half of the songs on this have the explicit label on it. Wow. His love was the key that opened my thighs. Girls, I don't need to catch the bouquet to know a hard rock is on the way. Whoa! Almighty!
I might listen to this now, and before I wasn't likely to, but I might now.
I will say, typically her music is not for me. I don't mind pop music, but I like something with the pulse. And the last couple albums that she's had have been lacking that, as far as I'm concerned. I've had to listen to them for my job. 1989 was good. I mean, it had some hits on it. It was fine.
I liked the country stuff.
The country stuff was good, too. At least it had, again, it had a pulse. There was, like, drums and stuff in it.
And
it wasn't this Jack Antonoff stuff, the guy from Fun writing everything. So you can tell that she was trying to go in a more active direction with this. It's still kind of, as far as I'm concerned, still a little bit low-key. But again, it's not for me. I'm not going to say that if you're a Swiftie, you're not going to like it. Every Swiftie I've seen online has said it's like their favorite album of all time right now.
If you're a Swiftie, self-declared, you don't get to dislike one of the albums or you get kicked out of the Swiftie club.
Yeah, true. I did. But I feel like the fervor for this one is a lot higher than it was for the last one.
Especially because it was the first album with the curiosity about Travis Kelce. She's always written about exes. The curiosity was, what is she going to write when she's in love, you know, and happy? And what is that going to be, a boring album? Like, what's that going to sound like? And just the timing of those lyrics and the album coming out right after they got engaged, you know, is interesting.
I mean, I think... I don't know if any of the songs in the last album, because they were dating when the last album came out, but I don't know if she had written any songs about him. Yes, you're right.
She is doing 4 talk shows next week. She recorded, what's the big one out of the BBC? Graham Norton. She recorded that already because there are pictures of the ring, and she's in a black dress. And
it was all of these, I guess they were, what is it called, embargoed interviews that she'd done with all of these British, maybe angry, watching it. Because I was like, God, look at a country taking radio seriously still. What must that be like? That must be awesome to be able to have Taylor Swift in for interviews. I mean, maybe Ryan Seacrest will get her. I doubt it, though.
I don't know which radio station it is, but she announced that she was doing, I think she was doing interviews on 6 radio stations, or it was 5, but only one was in the U.S.
Yeah.
And the others were based out of the U.K. She is doing Seth Meyers next week, and it's going to be like a show takeover. She's going to do the whole show of Meyers next week, which, given my crush on Seth Meyers, I like that. And she's doing Jimmy Fallon. And she and Jimmy Fallon have a good time together. Famously, he had her on right after she had LASIK surgery. And he got the video from her mom of when she was high on painkillers after her LASIK surgery.
That's funny.
And like wanting a banana, like freaking out because she wanted a banana. They just have a really good rapport. So that'll be cute. Yep. I don't know if she's going to do anybody else, but she doesn't usually do interviews. I mean, this is interesting that she did interviews. If you want an awe moment, this might have been with Graham Norton, but she described somewhere how it was like a year and a half ago that she and Travis Kelce were flipping through a magazine, and she pointed out a ring that she liked, and he remembered, and that's the ring that he got her for their engagement. Like that's, and she thought it was a big deal that he remembered that long after.
That's amazing, actually.
That's sweet. Yeah, that he was paying attention.
And it's also that he was thinking about it that far ahead, too.
Yeah, right? to remember it. Uh-huh.
That he was even considering it that far ahead. And thus I actually wonder that. That's a good question.
What?
Do guys realize that way before girls? Like, I think it's probably relationship dependent.
Yeah.
But, like, we were talking about that yesterday where, you know, the guy proposed to the girl in high school.
Right.
They're in high school and the crowd went wild and everything. And we were like, that's way too young. At the same time, at when I was like 17, I knew that I didn't want to be with anybody else but Katie.
My dad knew. Yeah. My dad was very clear very early on that that's all that he wanted with her. Yeah. But she describes that when he proposed, she immediately said, the first thing she said was, after she said yes, was, oh, I know that jeweler. I know this ring. I know where this ring came from. And it was the exact ring that.
And she remembered too. I mean, that's kind of amazing.
Yeah, that she just pointed it out and not like, hey, when you propose to me, this is the ring I want, but like, hey, I like this ring. So
my favorite thing right now too is watching. I follow a lot of like Chiefs, I guess, podcasters and influencers or whatever on Twitter, commentators, analysts, all that stuff. Just watching these dudes that I like, you know, thought are not manly men, but like sports guys, you know. Freaking out over this album and like putting their favorite tracks and then dealing with the backlash. Cause then there's people like, dude, come on, get over it. She's just a pop artist. What's wrong with me? And then me like feeling defensive of that. Like, how dare you tell somebody that they can't celebrate something that they enjoy? What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Like, it's not for me, but I'm not going to sit here and tell people that they're wrong if they love it. Like, that's just dumb.
A lot of people do, right? I mean, there's a reason that she sold as many tickets as she did to Oliver. There's a reason she went on tour for 2 years and was able to charge $200 a ticket. Whether you like her music or not, you got to respect her as a businesswoman and as an artist for the ability to just put so much into that machine and keep it going for so many years. I mean, she's 35 or 36. 20 years she's been at this. You know, her first album, I think she was 16 when her first album came out. So,
I mean, and I'll just say this, as somebody who can appreciate lyrics without necessarily appreciating the music behind them, she's a good lyricist.
Yeah, she's like, a great writer.
She has a great line, I think it's eldest daughter on this, and it's... the line was, I'm gonna misquote this, but it was like, every eldest daughter was the first lamb to the slaughter. That's why we dress up like wolves.
Mm-hmm.
It was something like that. It's like, oh man, I have no affiliation with that, but that's a great line. That chilled me. The other thing is, she just seems like a good person.
She
like,
does.
I get like when people got nuts about Michael Jackson, and then after he died, I was kind of like, do you not remember what he was accused of by like many people? Do you not remember how creepy he came off to people in his personal life too? Came out and was like, yeah, that guy's weird. Like she just seems like definitely a business person, definitely a great marketer, but there has to be some sincerity to that too. Otherwise it would rub you the wrong way. She just comes off like an authentic person.
Quentin, can you find real quick there's a clip of Stephen Colbert where he describes, if you just go to YouTube and go to Stephen Colbert, Taylor Swift, there's a story that he tells. I don't know how long ago this was. He starts it by saying, I would go to war for Taylor Swift because there was a time, and this might've been early in her career, where she was trying to get on a show. And there was an event where he met her and he had his daughter with him, and his daughter was wearing this dress and he was very hesitant like to introduce himself. And she saw Taylor Swift, saw the little girl, and just made such a big deal about this girl's dress. And it made his daughter's universe that Taylor Swift, this big star, didn't have to do that. You know, didn't have to make a big deal out of it. Didn't have to meet them at all. But the fact that she donates so much money to cities that she tours in is something she doesn't have to do. Not every artist does that.
Not to mention how much she pays her crew.
And the bonuses that she gives. Remember, she gave out major bonuses. Was it $100,000 each? She gave out major bonuses to the truck drivers that have to haul all the gear in the U.S. during that tour. She just gave them all bonuses because she can. Right. And she recognizes how many people it takes to make all that work. Again, she doesn't have to do any of that, and she does. So,
But one of my favorite stories is Dave Grohl was at a party with like a bunch of musicians, and she was there, and Paul McCartney was there, and there was a piano, and Paul McCartney was like, "Hey, Dave, come up and play a song on the piano." And Dave didn't have the heart to tell Paul McCartney, "I don't know how to play. I'm a drummer. I'm an alt rock guitar player. Like, I don't know how to play the piano." And so he's like, "Sure," and he's like, kind of getting up, and he said, "Nobody else noticed how nervous I was because I was going to sit down and be like, I don't remember how this. He was like, I was going to fumble my way through it. And as I was approaching the piano, this voice goes, oh, I know a song. And she, Taylor Swift, then sat down at the piano and started playing The Best of You, which is a Foo Fighters song. Mm-hmm. And he was like, it saved me. It was like, and then sang it together. And it was this beautiful moment. And he was like, afterwards, he's like, you saved me. Thank you so much. You saved me. And she's like, I know. It's no big deal.
That's awesome. That's great. That's, yes. There's no controversy. I mean, there's been controversy, but not in terms of
her being
bad.
But it's all like personal relationships and stuff. Yeah.
Or it's about the albums. You know, it's about getting her masters and that kind of thing. It's usually not, she was not a nice person.
Yeah.
So, anyway, the album's out. So, yay.
All right. Coming up, we're going to talk about Wyandotte County.
Oh, boy.
Wanting to make being homeless illegal, which I'm sure many of you won't have a problem with. But the way they're trying to do it is a little bit crazy. So we'll talk about that next. Maybe get that Colbert
clip. Yeah, we can find that. That might be a little palate cleanser.
Yeah.
We need it at some point here.
Play that at some point. Yeah. Anyway, that's coming up on Midday.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Unified Government of Wyandotte County is doing something interesting. They took action yesterday they have a plan where they're not going to build new homeless shelters, but they are considering making it illegal for people to sleep outside on public and private property. The vote was planned for yesterday. What they ended up doing was, instead of just approving it or not approving it, they are kicking it back to a task force to make some adjustments and some improvements to this plan. And they're going to give that task force 30 days and then come back to unified government with that. But nonetheless, it is still on the table. Again, I want to point out, we're not creating new indoor space for homeless people. We're just not letting them sleep outside on the streets. Where do you expect them to go?
So, they'll just go to Johnson County.
Or Kansas City, Missouri.
Well, no, they can't go to Johnson County because there's no shelter in Johnson County either.
And Kansas City, Missouri is running out of space. They can't house up. There is not a single overnight shelter in Wyandotte County. Should they perhaps work on that first? It's just a thought.
I'll just play literally, I think, in this case, devil's advocate.
Sure.
And say, why is it the county's responsibility to take care of people who don't want to take care of themselves, Jamie?
It's not. You don't have to do it. But government traditionally takes care of its residents in some ways. And if that, and I know you're playing devil's advocate, because somebody is going to say that. Somebody is genuinely going to think that.
I'm literally just pre-quoting the text line.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to wait a minute for them to catch up and text that. But so I'm just pre-quoting the text line.
And if that's the case, then let's not have food programs in schools. Let's not have any WIC. Let's just not have any government service programs at all. And we can do that, but I sincerely hope the people that want that never need it. You never know how your situation's going to change at some point. You never know when you're going to need a food bank or a little help with rent. You just never know how your situation's going to change.
I mean, and
quite honestly, to that, where I'll just add, you don't have to take care of them. But if you're going to make an ordinance that makes it illegal, and the way they're going to do this is, if you're found sleeping or camping outside without a temporary permit, you could face a citation up to $200, which they're not going to have, or a jail stay of up to a month. So you're going to pay for it by putting them in jail instead.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you rather pay for a shelter?
Which
than is, jail?
And I can't remember how many studies have shown that actually shelters are cheaper than jail.
At probably every study in the history of the universe.
Because you don't have to, it doesn't have the same oversight. It's not going to have the same security. They don't cost as much to build. Usually shelters are just places that are abandoned or not being used that are turned into places for homeless people.
Like
to
a
go.
La Quinta.
Like a La Quinta, yeah. Which I still go back to that, like the whole thing with the La Quinta and Lenexa. Like, did you really think a La Quinta was that? I've stayed in La Quinta.
So luxurious
it's not that much better than a homeless shelter. I don't really know what the big deal was.
Does Wyandotte County have an abundance of extra jail space? Is that because
they must.
Then yeah, we need that.
Yeah.
They must have empty jails. And they're trying to find ways to fill them.
So I guess the argument would be, well, they're breaking the law, they're loitering, and we're allowing that to go unpunished. So we need to do something about it. And if they go to jail, that's fine. Then maybe they'll if they go to jail, they'll learn to not be homeless anymore. That's the solution, Jamie.
No, that's not going to happen. They're going to get 3 meals a day. That's good. You're either building a homeless shelter or you are letting them have shelter in the jail, and the jail's going to be better for them because they're going to have 3 meals a day. You know, they're going to get to stay in. Now is the time of year where they're going to want to be there because it's going to get cold eventually. Don't make it illegal. Just let it be then, but they're not going to have the $200 fine. So, you know, you're going to arrest them and put them in jail. And then what are you going to do with them?
And then I also, it's not like them getting out of jail after 30 days. Suddenly they're going to be like, well, now I can get a job.
I learned
now
my I'll lesson.
Just, yeah. And by the way, because nobody isn't going to hire somebody who has a conviction on their record.
Right.
On top of not having an address.
Right.
On top of not having clean clothes or having had a shower or any of that stuff. I mean, maybe they'll get a little bit cleaned up in jail, but also a lot of the problems with people who are destitute and homeless, it's not all of them, but a lot of them, that's due to mental illness.
Right.
So that's also another barrier. Can we at least get those people help? Can we have a situation for them to get help? It kind of reminds me, there's an O. Henry story about a guy, it's called The Cop in the Anthem. And it's a guy, he's homeless and it's cold and he starts doing everything to try to get into jail. So he starts vandalizing windows, pretending to be drunk and all this. I mean, it just all backfires. Like he tries to vandalize a window, but people are like, oh, thanks. That looks beautiful. The graffiti's amazing and all that stuff. And then he hears a church hymn and it makes him want to go, oh, I'm going to change my life. I'm going to become a better person. And then he gets arrested for loitering and sent to jail.
Yeah.
Because he was sitting there too long listening to them. That's kind of the situation. It's like, it's not like these people can just decide, okay, you know what? I'm going to change my life. I'm just going to stop being destitute and poor. And there are definitely programs that will help them. But you know where those programs are available? Shelters.
Right.
That's the first step. You need a good baseline. And people who go, well, that would never happen to me. Yeah, because you have that baseline. That you have that. If the worst of the worst happened to me, I could go live with my mom.
Right.
Okay, great. Mom, I hate telling you this, but that is it's in the back of my head.
Sure.
If it ever has to happen, fine. Sure. She has a house, we'll go move into her house. That is the baseline. A lot of people don't have that. And that's why they end up on the streets.
And I know we're getting calls that we can get to here in a second. The other thing is this really the best use of law enforcement resources? Is focusing on arresting the homeless people for sleeping at the park instead of, you know, crime that, you know, violence and other actual crimes, more important crimes, more dangerous crimes.
Well, if you let this slide, Jamie, then
this is stupid.
You know, it's the broken window. It's the broken window thing, yeah. Jamie. If you don't arrest people and prosecute every single petty crime, then you're basically saying anything is okay. Then murder's fine. You know, if you're fine with loitering, then you're obviously fine with murder.
Somebody needs to explain to me the resistance to building homeless shelters, the resistance to housing people who are homeless. What? Because again, you're going to pay to have them in the jail, or you're going to pay to have them in a shelter. So
the only argument I could make against it would be there are cities who have shelters and they still have lots of homeless people.
But at least you have fewer homeless people.
Right. That was always my argument in Seattle, because there's a major homeless issue in Seattle caused by the fentanyl crisis, which it is probably also in Wyandotte County and mm-hmm. most places. A lot of it is due to drug abuse and then the destitution from that. Got it. But rehab programs and things like that aren't available on the sidewalk.
Right.
They're available at shelters.
Right.
That's the only way you're going to get people help. And if you want to see less of that, then fine. My argument was always stop saying we need to get rid of the shelters, because if you get rid of that, you think the homeless problem is bad now?
Yeah.
It's going to be so much worse. All right. 913-586-7798. We'll take your calls and texts coming up on Midday.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Talking about Wyandotte County, this was out of KCUR, and they met yesterday. So they have a plan on the table that would make it illegal for people to sleep outside on public and private property. I want to come back to that private property part in a second, because that just caught my ear. They are considering fines of $200 or up to 6 months in jail. We should point out that that's the plan that we originally knew about. We know that yesterday they met and they decided to kick this plan back to a task force, make some adjustments, take some time, take a month or so, and then come back and we'll talk about it. But it's still the same idea, that you make it illegal for people to sleep outside on public and private property. Why private property? What if somebody wants to camp outside?
What if it's me and my kids sleeping in our backyard? Is that not okay?
No,
we can't do that.
Not in Wyandotte County.
Not in Wyandotte County.
Because you might have a homeless person there, and that's bad.
What if you break up with or get divorced, but he still wants to live there because you have kids?
We did that story.
What if he's camping in the backyard?
Nope. Homeless, then.
No,
he's homeless.
Can't do that. He's homeless.
We can't have that.
That would be, I mean, even with your consent, doesn't matter. Nope.
And there is not a single overnight shelter in Wyandotte County. So one of two things is going to happen. Either those homeless people are going to go somewhere else where there is a shelter, or they are going to be arrested and be in your jail instead.
Yeah.
Or you're not going to have the resources to enforce it. And then why pass it?
Yeah, I know we have calls to get to, 913-586-7798. Just getting the text that I predicted and pre-quoted. Homelessness is a crime. We need to punish it. They're all drug addicts. There's no helping them.
Right.
They don't want shelter. Right. All of the usual arguments we hear. Yeah.
I mean. Very well informed.
It's, look, it just seems like such a nihilistic way to go through life to mm-hmm. assume there's no solution to problems.
Right.
Like,
even if you can't solve it all the way.
Right. And there's no solution that doesn't rely on punishment.
Yeah.
Like that's not the most effective way to raise your children. It's not the most effective way to deal with your citizenry. It's a boot on neck type of life that mm-hmm. I, as an American, don't really appreciate.
Yeah. All right. 913-586-7798. Phone lines are ringing. We'll get to your calls. Let's see. First up is Sherilyn in Blue Springs. Hey, Sherilyn.
Hi.
Hey, Sherilyn.
You guys are awesome. And I just wanted to say that there's a hotel in Blue Springs because we used to have a bunch of people on the street. Now we just have a few people holding up the give me money signs. But we have a hotel in Blue Springs that does help the homeless. They let them stay there and take donations. Yeah. There's like a Facebook page where you can find out what they need and you can take it up there if you got extra.
Cool. I wish that was closer to Wyandotte County.
Right. What's the name of the hotel? Do you know, Sherilyn?
I didn't know if I was allowed to say it, but sure. It's a Welcome Inn off of Woods Chapel.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. That's great that exists. But that's part of the problem is that it's not in Wyandotte County. It's not in Johnson County because we had a story. What was it? Earlier this week or last week about a guy in Johnson County who was homeless, lost his job, and wanted to go to a shelter and ended up having to go to Kansas City.
Right.
Because there were no shelters. Yeah. There are no shelters in Johnson County. There are no shelters in Wyandotte County. So it's not being a good neighbor either. Mm-hmm. Granted, there's a border war and the state line and all that. But it's not being a good neighbor if you're in Wyandotte County or Johnson County to make your problem their problem.
Well, you know, we ended that border war.
I forgot.
The truce ended. Excuse me. Yeah. We ended that truce, so the border war is back on. So
yeah.
And I listen to you every day because I DoorDash, and so
really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Next week, we're going to Europe. I'll think about you.
Have fun. Okay, where are you going? Cool.
Thanks, Sherilyn.
Well, we're going on a cruise, and some of it's probably going to be canceled because Russia's sending drones everywhere. But we're starting out in Copenhagen and ending in London.
I love Copenhagen.
Russian drones are going to hit you unless I just miss something.
It closed the Munich airport. The Munich airport in Germany had to close. I don't know if they were Russian drones, but because of drones.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so. It was the Copenhagen airport on Monday, and I was just like, oh, my gosh.
All right, well, have fun. Leaving,
all right.
We're actually leaving 2 days early to go to Copenhagen.
You'll love it.
Thanks, Sherilyn.
You'll eat well. Thanks, Sherilyn. Appreciate it. So many lines ringing out. Okay, just everybody be patient here for a second. Next up, we'll go to Shawnee and talk to Justin. Hey, Justin.
Hey, so I'm going to answer your question about why more governments don't want to do this. At least that's what I think is the reason. Is there's a Supreme Court case from the 80s called DeShaney v. Winnebago that says the government doesn't have a legal liability for individuals in their custody unless they've established a special relationship. So if they build these shelters, they're going to establish a special relationship. I think it's kind of a broad way to interpret that court case. But at the same time, I think that's why they're doing it, as well as you get the NIMBYs. I don't want it in my backyard, not in my backyard kind of thing.
100%.
But I'm actually going to challenge who I think can help fix this problem in Wyandotte. How many churches are in Wyandotte? How many churches run a shelter? I don't know. Maybe there's a lot. Maybe there's none. Maybe there's one. But I think that the way to fix this is to challenge the people that are have religious intent in their lives to practice what they preach, especially the leaders of those practices, and to help out those that are, you know, less fortunate and need help.
Justin, it's an amazing point too, because it always baffles me how the people who will claim to be followers of Jesus, and I grew up Catholic, went to a Catholic school. That was what we were taught. Over and over again was Jesus washing mm-hmm. the feet of people, helping the lepers, helping the homeless, helping the sick, anybody he could help who would be considered beneath him. He didn't consider that. He said everybody is equal. Everybody has individual worth. And yet these same people will turn around and say, yeah, but you can't sleep You can't sleep in public. No, right. we're gonna throw you in jail for being homeless. We're gonna take you out of your camp, take you out of your tent, and put you in a jail.
I would challenge the religious leaders in Wyandotte County to step up and truly practice their faith out in the open and help out the individuals that need it. Because if the government does build these shelters, somebody's going to get mad. But if your religious institution does it, you're just practicing what you preach. And I do think the government of Wyandotte County can help out and maybe put up some special provisions, maybe some bills or some grants for these churches to do something like that. But
Justin, you realize
the problem is
what that relies, and it's a fantastic idea. We're both nodding at each other. What that relies on then, those churches are going to have to use the donations from their parishioners mm-hmm. to help the Correct. Homeless. And that means the community needs to care about the homeless yeah. to put their money into it.
Right. Yes, I recognize it. That's why I'm saying to do it
yeah.
because I'm putting that challenge out there and I'm putting it on blast at the same time.
I like it. Yeah.
Thanks, Justin.
Thanks, Justin.
I would
appreciate
like
it.
To point out that that was one of the things brought up yesterday in the meeting was that there are 151 churches was the number that was given yesterday.
Wow.
And that was one of the call to actions that was given in the meeting yesterday was that this can't just be solved through a government issue, that this has to be a community issue. And churches and religious organizations were specifically called out yesterday in that meeting.
I like it, and that annoys me. Because again, you have the government saying, we're going to make it illegal and so we're going to arrest the homeless and we're not going to do anything to solve it, but we want churches to do it.
Yeah.
Don't make it illegal then. Call on churches. He was absolutely right. Governments have the ability to apply for grants that churches can't necessarily. Take that role in helping them get money, but don't make it illegal.
From the text line, and this is... it's come up a couple times, so I want to address it, is you don't understand. These people refuse shelters. They don't want to go to shelters. They prefer to sleep on the streets. That is their choice.
Not everybody. It's a minority of people.
That's obviously not true, because we just had a story, and we referenced it earlier, about a guy in Johnson County who was looking for a shelter and ended up in KCMO because there are no shelters in Johnson County. So... that's just specious, and it's not true. Also, the ones that do refuse shelters when they exist, refuse bad shelters, where
that's
you're not
correct,
allowed to have
yeah.
your pets.
Right.
They're not allowed to be with your partner.
Or they're too far away from
too
their
far
resources.
Away. Or unsafe.
Yeah.
Women need, for specifically women-specific shelters sometimes, in order to feel safe in those shelters. You need to build low-barrier options, and... once you do that and you have clean places for people to stay, you'll watch the uptake rise and watch people get better.
Yeah, that argument makes me crazy. I think people that don't want to help say that. And you don't want to realize that is such a... We've had experts on the air with us who have said to us, when the homeless count happened in Kansas City, Missouri, we had Josh Hengis on the air with us, who is their homelessness prevention guy, who used to work with Veterans Community Project. And and every expert tells us that is a minority of the people that are homeless. The yeah. vast majority want help and want to get off the streets, but they can't do it on their own.
913-586-7798. We have some more calls to get to, yeah. so hang on the line if you're on the line, and we'll also take your text. We'll be back in just a few minutes. I'm Midday.
Where do we put people who are sleeping on the streets? Wyandotte County says we don't want them on the streets, and we're not going to build a shelter for them. Maybe that's going to change. Maybe when this plan goes back to a task force, it's going to look different. But right now, that's how it looks.
Real quick, because I've said that the study after study will show you that shelters are cheaper than jails.
Mm-hmm.
And a bunch of people on the text line push back against that, saying that can't possibly be true because the jails are already built and the shelters aren't. Okay, because, yeah, every jail just sprung out of the ground. You grow jails. There's mm-hmm. there's seeds that you plant in the ground and pour water on them, and then a jail, max security jail, just pops up. But here's a couple of them. Central Florida study from 2014. Found that each chronically homeless person costs $31,000 a year in ER, hospital, and incarceration costs
wow.
versus $10,000 for permanent supportive housing. That's 68%. I'm just doing the math. Mm-hmm. 68% savings. with housing versus how much they're going to cost the system for ER, hospital, incarceration. Denver Housing First found basically the exact same thing. Because what you don't realize is how much they're costing everything else. They're costing, right, as far as jail, fine. As far as the police rounding them up, fine. As far as ER visits, because they have to go to the ER. They don't have insurance, but the ER has to take them. Then who do they send the bill to?
Yeah.
And that costs money.
Yeah. We all pay more.
Yeah.
Ultimately.
And
then,
not to mention, if they're committing crimes, if they're vandalizing things, if they're going through dumpsters or even robbing people, because they don't have an alternative, they're going to be doing things like that because they don't have anywhere else to go. I'm not excusing their behavior. I'm just explaining why crime happens.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, 913-586-7798. Let's get Joe on the line in Bonner Springs. Hi, Joe.
Hey, Joe.
How's it going today?
We're great.
Good.
Okay. Couple points. For housing, for mental health, to get in a group home situation for a man, there's a year and a half to 2 year wait. Also, for housing, for example, when I was down at the VA, there was a guy rolling around telling everybody about the tiny houses for vets. Mm-hmm. And one of the vets pretty much almost beat the crap out of him for it, because he says, why? He says, pride. That's why they won't do it. Mm. Also, you said we were talking about private property. What they do is they find a wooded area that's close to an intersection. I know, for example, down off of 135th and K7 where the Walmart is,
yeah,
there is a, they'll go either behind the bank to the south in that wooded area, and when they get kicked out of there, they go to the wooded area pasture on the north side of Walmart. So,
all right, Joe, if we could just respond real quick, because you threw a lot of stuff out there. I don't know if you're pro or anti the shelters, but saying that there's a long wait for shelters isn't an argument against building more shelters.
Right.
It's an argument for building more of them, right, so that the wait times would be less. Two, yeah, the VA thing, tiny houses, people have a lot of pride. That's one of
project.
The reasons.
Yeah.
Got it. They are very prideful people. But again, that is a small group of people. I know it's a story you had, but it's anecdotal, because the studies will show you most people will eventually accept help if they absolutely have to.
And I'll just point out there, they have a commissary that also serves a lot of veterans that need help but have housing.
Yeah. And then finally, as far as the private property is concerned, our point on that was, what if you want to allow people to sleep on your private property?
Right.
Like, not that
and
they're doing it.
And you should be able
it.
To if it's your private property.
And I think if you own a store and there's people camped out in front of it, you have every right to have them removed from that if they're hurting your business.
Yeah.
Our only point was, what if I want homeless people to sleep in my backyard?
Yeah. Yes.
All right. Coming up, we're going to talk about Daniel Vasquez being convicted for shooting a North Kansas City officer last year. His story was so lame and obviously never held up.
Yeah.
That's coming up on Midday.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.